Hello, and welcome to episode 32 of the Nerd Extravaganza podcast, home of the coolest kids on the playground. I'm Tom.
I'm Rick.
I'm Brian.
And tonight we have a highly culturally relevant episode of the Nerd Extravaganza podcast for you. But before we get into our main topic, let's kick things off in our traditional manner by bringing you our weekly geekly roundups. Brian, why don't you go first? What's been going on in your geeky life?
I had a slow week, actually. It was mostly Star Wars and purchasing. As you two know, but I'll fill in the audience, we had a weekend full of Star Wars X-Wing miniatures. GXE on Friday night, and then AGS for a tournament on Saturday. That became an all-day thing. That was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
While Christmas shopping, I found some cool things that I wanted. I found a really good deal on a game that, after I force you two to play all the other games I bought, I'm going to force you two to play with me, called Mansions of Madness. It's a Arkham Horror clone offshoot thing. Looks awesome. And Sunday, I did make it to the Indie Craft Fair. That was full of shocking geeky goodness. I didn't really expect R2-D2 shaped soap to be for sale at an Indie Craft Fair, but I thought that was terribly relevant.
I mean, I wish I knew about that. I would have went. I like those kind of things.
It was pretty cool. The soap was $3 each. I was really tempted to buy them out and hand them out at comic book stores, but it's Christmas time, so I figured I'd spend the money on something else.
Well, your heart was in the right place for it being Christmas time. You stopped short of giving, but you thought briefly about giving, and that's what the Christmas season is all about.
It's the thought that counts.
Right. Not the action. Just the thought. Anything else, sir?
That's it for me.
All right, Ricky, how about you? What have you been up to?
I also spent a lot of time this weekend playing some Star Wars X-Wing miniatures games with you guys. Apparently, we only play at places that have three-letter initials, GXE and AGS. ABC and LMNOP, even though that breaks the rule. But aside from that, I've been playing a bunch of SWTOR again. Working on a new dark side character, trying to catch up so I can play with you guys, and then working on my light side character, who's like level 27 or 28. My girlfriend Kimberly's been balls deep, man. Chicks don't have balls, but she's balls deep into playing.
That's really deep for a girl.
She's like re-obsessed with the game. That's awesome. So even though I didn't really want to start playing again, you guys started playing. She's been going nutballs playing, so I joined in the fray on that. What else? Ooh, I went and saw The Hobbit. As we all know, I'm not a big fan of that genre, but aside from shitty 3D graphics, and not knowing that it was a multi-part movie, I liked it.
Oh, you fell for it again.
Well, I never saw Lord of the Rings. I only saw the second one. I didn't see the first and third one, so I was a bit confused when The Hobbit ended in a place where I didn't really think it should be ending. But a good build-up to the next movie should be badass. So it was good, I guess. It wasn't the drool fest and ranting and raving that everyone was talking about, but on the plus side, it didn't have Jar Jar Binks, so that's always good. Well, I guess that was about it. Some Star Wars, some more Star Wars, and some Hobbits.
Cool.
Hobbitses.
Guess that brings it back over to me. As always, our activities overlap because we're not just fellow podcasters, we're also friends. Someday I like to think we'll be family and I'll share one big house.
That sounds so warm and fuzzy.
Or creepy, depending on how you want to look at it. I want you guys in my house forever.
Under the stairs.
You'll have a special place. You won't move from there. But until that time, we spent a lot of time together doing cool activities, much of which becomes fodder for our weekly geekly roundups and is also inspiration for our shows. This particular week, I also participated in our traditional Friday night X-Wing miniatures game at Geek Extreme Entertainment, or GXE. I also participated in the Kessel Run Star Wars Miniatures event at the Adventure Game Store, or AGS. Played some SWTOR with, Brian and I did a Flashpoint and had a great time with that. And that was really cool. In addition, Rick's girlfriend pulled out long enough to give me the tip. That being that I should get the digital upgrade pack for SWTOR. I paid $5, and for that, got a flare gun, a training droid, a portable holodancer, a holocam to record my exploits somehow. I haven't used that yet. Most importantly, I got myself an in-game speeder vehicle called the STAP.
A really good one that you can't buy in the game.
Okay.
I believe, at least originally when we, you know, paid for the game and paid for the upgrade, it was exclusive material that you couldn't get in the game. So.
Well, I haven't seen it. I've seen other... I've been looking for it as other people fly by, and I haven't seen it. It's cool. I'm really enjoying it. So, totally worth the purchase of that. I recommend that to any SWTOR players out there. Also, on the video game front, as I am currently on vacation, I'm trying to plow through a bunch of video games. And so I beat Resistance 3 for the PlayStation 3, and I'm ready to move on to something else. Get my video game queue cleared. I also received my Crunchyroll shipment of 60 DVDs.
I forgot all about that. I got one too. You're right.
Yeah, you got
that was a double shipment by accident though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I kind of lucked out. I fat fingered the order button and ordered two, and then immediately realized what I did. Sent Crunchyroll a request and said, "Listen, I screwed up. Please don't bill me twice." And they were kind enough to fulfill the order twice and only bill me once. And I didn't rip them off or anything. They were like, "Yeah, it looks like you're just going to get two shipments." So they were okay with that, so I'm okay with that.
Wow, looks like I might be getting an anime starter kit for Christmas, kids.
Actually, I've got some stuff you might be interested in, so yes.
I'm a dick because I put my doubles on eBay. Jeez.
Did you already?
No.
Okay. we need to meld our... We need to bring our collection together, though, because I think we might have the makings of some nice series here. As well, and rounding it out, I watched The Hobbit and really, really enjoyed that. Except, you know what? There's no way I'm not going to get into a rant here. I've got mixed feelings about The Hobbit. I want to watch it a couple more times before my opinions like crystallize about it. And I really would like for one or both of you to accompany me. So let's just leave that there right now for The Hobbit.
I'm surprised that this wasn't a thing, because it was such a thing before the movie came out. Was there lots of puking because of the 48 frames or whatever? Did anyone experience that?
I watched it in 3D, which is normally puts me right up on the edge of puking, and I was fine. So, no.
There was one spot that got me, but it wasn't really long. I get car sick super easy, but most of the time rides don't bother me. However, I've learned that the new version of Star Tours, that does make me nauseous, which really sucks, because it's like the coolest ride I've ever been on.
Really is.
But so 3D never usually bothers me, but there was one spot in the movie where they're doing like an overlook of like a, I don't know, they're like running through like a trench or something, and the camera was going one way and the people were going the other way, and it was uber 3D, and it got to me a tiny bit, but it wasn't long enough to really bother me. I was just like, whoa, I'm glad that was short. But other than that, I didn't notice it.
Yeah, I didn't notice this aggressive frame rate that was unnatural and was going to cause me illness, so no.
The initial claims were people were like passing out during the pre-screenings and everything. I was honestly a little concerned for it.
That was ticket hype.
Yeah.
Let's go check it out.
There's a nurse in every station!
Let's go check it out in 3D IMAX, that way we get the full effect and maybe one of us will pass out and puke. Or both.
Pass out and puke?
Yeah, pass out or puke, or pass out and puke. In either order. So yeah, The Hobbit. That pretty much round that, and of course, while we were taking part in our various gaming events, guys, you know, I also found inspiration for this week's episode with you while we were in a Walmart. And this is a perfect segue into tonight's topic. While we were in a Walmart, after having gone down to inglorious defeat in the Kessel Run event, if that's the proper English, we decided to go foraging for supplies, cases for our X-Wing miniature specifically, because we saw some people at the tournament that had really nice cases. So we're looking around for tackle boxes, toolboxes, going to these various various retail outlets, and ended up in a Walmart, and we're looking for boxes there that would be suitable for these miniatures. And while we're there, we walk by this huge display of, what would you guys call it, like geek-themed t-shirts?
Yep.
Okay. And
trendy t-shirts.
Trendy t-shirts. Trendy geek-themed t-shirts. We're talking Nintendo, Star Wars, I think there was
Star Wars
a Zelda.
And Atari.
Atari,
Nintendo, Angry Birds, Angry Birds Star Wars.
Zelda.
Angry Birds Atari.
A lot of things, Angry Birds being pretty new, but a lot of these being sort of geeky staples that have been around for years, you know? And that got us talking, that got us kicking around an idea that we've talked about a few times in the past, which is the inspiration for tonight's show, that being whether or not the proliferation of all things geek is reflective of a permanent sort of pop cultural shift, or it's just a fad. Meaning, are we going to be able to buy all this stuff on clearance in a few years when the general public moves on to the next fad, or is this stuff here to stay? Are we going to see people walking around with Nintendo controllers on their, you know, on their t-shirts from here to the end of days? And so I wanted to get your thoughts on that, guys. I mean, you think we're... I speak as somebody who I think, and Brian can attest to this, having known me a long time, has always been into this stuff, so it's not something I hopped onto, you know, because it was trendy, and I assume you guys... I know you guys are both the same way, so are we going to be alone out in the wilderness again when the bandwagon moves on?
I don't think it'll ever go back to the way it was, but I think it will become... not as popular as it is today again.
Yeah, I think the train running through the station is going to pick up some permanent passengers, but for the most part, it's just I do believe it's a passing fad. Simply because you're already starting to see it go away. You could say that the first shift was people... I don't want to use negative terms like hipsters or douchebags or whatever. But I will use an how do I say this? An uncategorical use of the term hipster, okay? Just meaning generically somebody trendy, not the official hipster that we know it as, you know, you could look up hipster pictures on the internet. We'll just go with trendy goofball. So you had your first run, and that was people that were finding legitimate old stuff, whether it be at flea markets or... thrift stores and stuff like that, throwing it on because, oh, check it out, it's cool, it's like a retro band t-shirt, or it's a retro 80s this, or it's a retro video game that. And then that started becoming like this weird little subculture, and then you start seeing like boutique shops and a little bit more mainstream yet still quote unquote underground shops like Hot Topic carrying it. So now it's in the mall. So it goes from thrift stores and flea markets to the mall. And it lived in the mall for a really long time. And then once it left the mall, it departed the Hot Topics of the world at the same time it started to rise into the Targets and Walmarts of the world. Mm. So I think we're on the last leg of it as far as the major consumer, grandma, mom, dad, uncle, aunt, big brother, little brother, sister, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Where it's just completely in your face and available to anyone and everyone. That's my, like, broad overview. Mm.
So the days of seeing a passably attractive woman or man, depending on your preference, walking down the street wearing a Legend of Zelda shirt are numbered.
I think so, because it really seems to be just like a hot topic right now. God, I hate having to say that.
Well,
but I mean, if you look around, like, search, like, dude, why else would you be seeing an R2-D2 bathing suit, or a C-3PO bathing suit, or R2-D2 body cat suit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, there are these things that have entered, like, either high-end fashion, or, like, the chick in high school who looked down upon you because you were wearing a Star Wars t-shirt, that style chick now is the one that's wearing the R2-D2 or C-3PO brawn panty set because it's hip and cool.
Yeah. I can see your point of view there. Brian, do you agree?
I kind of do agree. It's a slightly different subject, but I think it's relevant. Does anybody remember, like, 3 or 4 years ago when there were aisles and aisles of anime DVDs in Best Buy?
Oh, yep. Yes. Yes.
I was actually looking for anime in a Best Buy this weekend because I wanted to gift it to someone who totally isn't listening to this or on this. And they don't have any. They had, like, 4 Naruto DVDs left. I'm sorry, Naruto DVDs left.
So, yeah, and, dude, that really does... That's exactly like what we're talking about. That it's just, I don't know. I think it's kind of grown a little bit. Like, it was Nintendo and Star Wars. Now it's kind of more like Doctor Who and something else. You know what I mean? It's like it's moving horizontally. It's not changing like it was before, like from the anime to like the retro stuff or the 80s stuff. I mean, dude, how many people do you see wearing, you know, the stupid Dayglo clothes and popping their collar and shit like they were a couple years ago? It changed. It's still in the 80s or late 70s, but it's changing, I think. It's shifting sideways. So once we run out of stuff, you know, we've been through Nintendo and Atari, we've been through Star Wars and Star Trek. Now they're moving on to the Doctor Who, because that's like the latest current. I'm geeky, nerdy, and cool. And then, you know, I don't know where it's going to go from there, but I don't know, man. I'm seeing it as being the end. And that, you know, what about all these people with, you know, the Zelda tattoos and shit like that?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's, I mean...
They're going to be the first generation of people ever to regret their tattoo choices.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I wonder if there's a good business in a few years, removing Triforce tattoos from Samos, from saggy ass cheeks, you know what I mean?
It's weird, dude, because...
We discussed this offline, but we should come up with something that looks like a Triforce that will be popular in 10 or 15 years so they can have really easy cover-up tattoos done.
Right? Because it does seem like the Triforce tattoo is the new... It replaced the tramp stamp from the 90s. Or the tribal band tattoo from the 90s.
You're right, kind of. You're right. You know, I think... Okay, there's one... I think if you appeal to a Jewish clientele, they might have an easy out for the Triforce. Because I'm pretty sure through some tattoo art, you could turn that into a Star of David. Like, oh yeah, instead of just, you know, pride in my ethnicity. Yeah, yeah, it's always been this. Always. It was never a Triforce. But if you're like a, you know, Protestant or something, you're screwed. You're not getting out of this.
I mean, and it's like, you gotta look at it too. There, it is like kind of like a double fad. You've got people that are legitimately, you know, entering their 30s and stuff like that, and they're just reliving their youth and the things that, you know, and that's fine and that's acceptable, but it's also very passable. But then you've got these other people who are of the same age group but weren't into that stuff in their youth, and they're glomming onto this as well. And I think that's more the group that gets under my skin than anything else.
Yeah, it's difficult right now to distinguish the posers from the people who are the legitimate the legitimate holders of the geek title or designation, I guess. Some questioning will usually, a little scratching at the surface will usually reveal a very shallow knowledge of subject matter. Sort of, How do I describe it? I guess to harken back to Ready Player One, right? That book was all about the person who the hero in that book, the victor, the ultimate champion, is the person who is so steeped in geeky knowledge and like irrelevant trivia that he can't help but win, right?
And it's not even like, and it wasn't even from his lifetime period,
right?
And it was legit on him.
It's kind of the logical conclusion of our topic.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is if it's somebody who embraces this stuff and steeps themselves in it to the degree that the hero in that book did, I'm cool. You know, I'm like, wow, this is... Wait, what is this Zelda? And next thing you know, they're getting friggin' adventure tattoos up and down their arms and playing Zork and stuff, you know, at home because they're legitimately into it and not because it's the trendy, cool thing to do.
Right.
If that's the case, I think you're awesome. But if you're just like, yeah, I read that, Space Invaders is cool, so, yeah, I got some magnets for my fridge. Check it out. Then I hate you. I kind of hate your guts a little bit. But... So I've got two possible theories here. One is, yeah, it's a passing fad. It's you know, this when this stuff leaves Target, the next thing will be working its way up through Hot Topic and into the, you know,
right, Walmart dollar store.
Well, yeah, I guess this stuff will make its way out to the dollar store where we'll go clean up. But the next trend will make its way from the boutique shop to the Hot Topics, to the Walmarts of popular imagination, and people will be like, I don't know, maybe the urban Looney Tunes will make a comeback. I have no idea. I hope not. But that's theory one. Theory two is more hopeful, but probably not a very sound theory. I hope that what's really happening here is with the advent of the internet and the ability for sort of what were once like disparate groups to sort of congeal to sort of come together and have their likes validated by the internet, and with society just generally being a little more tolerant of subcultures and subgroups and so on, maybe a new permanent off the beaten track sort of geeky subculture has emerged that will always be here. And all that will change is that as new cool geeky stuff is introduced, it's just added to the mix. I like to think that is the case.
I think that is the case. That does seem like the case already, that the mainstream popularity has kind of taken this dark cloud from over the legitimate subculture of the gaming nerd, comic book nerd, sci-fi nerd, just general all-around geeky nerd person. And I think it's kind of like what Brian was alluding to earlier, it'll never go back to the hiding in the dark crevices of the basement that it used to be. It's been brought to light and not completely shit upon, and, you know, it's been grabbed and ran with, I think foolishly and kind of ridiculously, but a lot of good stuff has come out of it, and that is, you know, a little bit more cultural acceptance, social acceptance. I mean, look at what's popular in media entertainment right now, dude. What are the biggest movies? They're all comic book or sci-fi movies right now. It's insane.
Yeah, very true.
Just keep coming and coming and coming. They're not going. That's not going away.
Yeah, and if they're not direct properties, they're definitely highly inspired by those type of things. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're right. I think those genres that were once the pretty exclusive domain of the basement dwelling geek are now just sort of exploding, and have exploded and continue to erupt in the entertainment sphere, as it were. So, yeah, I hope that's here to stay for a good long while. I mean, I think I can accept what you guys are sort of getting at here, which is that in the worst case, the best case scenario being a Ready Player One type scenario where geeks rule the world. but a not best case scenario, but nevertheless acceptable scenario would be that subset of people being here to stay, and now, yeah, out of the basement. And you don't necessarily have to be look like something that crawled out of the primordial ooze just because you like, you know, just because you like your entertainment a little off the beaten track.
Right, and I mean, think about it. I think the outlets for that kind of stuff, whether it be gaming stores or comic stores, or, you know, it's kind of been pushed into the mold of it's just pop culture stuff now. And I think that's good, because even though we may not see, you know, 10 places on one street or within a 10-mile radius, we may be left with 3. But you know what? 3's good, because if we get to the point where, as long as we're still able to get new merchandise, experience it, have places to go to celebrate in it, with it, whatever, then the decline is fine. And I think that's really where it's going to go. You know, we'll probably, in 5 years, will we see another Captain America movie? I'm sure we will. Will it be as popular as the one that's probably going to come out next year? I doubt it. So we're not going to see the super hot regular girls with, you know, bountiful chests full of Captain America logos on them, because I think that's going to go away. But I think the power of the growth right now is gonna linger on for a lot longer than the mainstream popularity will. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And I think if I could draw an analogy, I think just like the NFL in football hasn't gone away. It's sort of persisted, and it has a pretty, you know, reliable year after year segment of the population that loves it. So will this stuff continue on into the future as a slice of the entertainment pie?
Right. And I mean, you'll see times where, you know, something big happens in the NFL and it's all over the news and you get all these bandwagon jumpers, and then for a couple of months it's the biggest thing on the planet again. And then it goes away and, you know, just subsides, you know, right back to where it used to live until the next big eruption comes, whether it be, you know, from another X-Men movie or, you know, some weird sport guy gets signed to a team. I don't know anything about that shit, but you guys get what I'm saying.
yeah. No, I mean, I'd love to watch the news and see, like, oh, you know, and DC's unveiling a new Superman book this week. Just for that sort of thing to make headline news.
Yeah, and I think that's cool. Where it's at, and I'm fine with that. I'm cool with that. I like that. It's just, it's more powerful for us.
I agree. Just, what about you, Brian? I mean, do you feel like for it to be special, it has to be something small? Do you have to be? I hate to use the word. Do you have to be a hipster about your geekiness in order to enjoy it, or is a more geeky world a better world in your opinion?
I think no matter what it is, and I think we're actually proof of this, because if it's books or if it's synthesizers or if it's, I don't know what you're into, Tom, you're always going to be someone's going to be a little geekier than the rest. Like, I'm snooty about books, so you can read sci-fi, but I still judge you for reading that sci-fi.
Yeah, you know, I think I could. I think it's possible to still be a super dork or super geek in an ocean full of like mediocre geeks. And I'd rather be the guy at the party who knows more about classic anime than the entire, you know, than anybody else at the party who just likes contemporary anime. Let me restate that. It would be better to walk into a party full of Naruto fans who don't know about classic anime. Sorry, Naruto, Brian, yes. It would be better to walk into a party full of Naruto fans who don't know about classic anime than it would be to walk into a party full of Green Bay Packers fans who just want to punch me in the face because they don't know what anime is.
Exactly, dude. Exactly, and that's such a good way to look at it.
I guess it's okay that that all the new practitioners of your religion aren't as fervent in their belief as you are, as long as they're sort of on board with the general program, right?
Right.
I'll look at it that way.
And I think we're going to get a lot of that. In, you know, you're going to run into people who this whole movement is has or trend has had an effect on it, and it is going to stick with them, even if it's not something that they do all the time. But that still doesn't, and I'm bringing it back around. It still doesn't change that you do have these fucking retarded hipster douchebags who are just fucking fully jumping on a bandwagon for nothing more than to be a spectacle. You know, and it's like nothing irritates me more. I mean, I have a set of Space Invaders on my forearm. I've had this tattoo for like 10 or 12 years, and it's now in fashion. And I get these fucking skinny jean wearing fucking retards coming up to me, killer tat, bro. I'm like, I'm ashamed, and I shouldn't be ashamed of something that I've wanted to wear as a badge of my age and my influences and my loves since I was a kid, you know? But then again, I've also ran into people who are like, holy crap, Space Invaders. My dad had that game. We had it in our garage, and I finally got him to turn it on. Dude, I love that game. Blah, what's your high score? I got mine, blah, blah. That was fucking awesome. So it's not the age. It's not the level. It's not how deep your roots are. It's how deep your love is.
I agree.
I think the bottom line, and we actually touched on this when we did the Renaissance Fair episode, I think the bottom line is we're welcoming, but assholes are assholes.
Yeah, that sums it up, dude. Enough said.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what you're into. If an asshole is into it, you don't want him into it.
You're right. And welcoming is correct. It's funny. Just yesterday, I was in the grocery store, and I was at the checkout line, and there's a girl probably, if I had to guess, 20 years old, bagging my groceries, and I'm checking out, and she's like, I have to ask, what's up with your t-shirt? And my t-shirt was adventure theme, the video game Adventure from 2600 Days, which was like, as a kid, the game I was most insane over, because it seemed so grand and beyond my ability to conquer or even comprehend, right?
Is this the shirt that has the three dragons across it?
Yeah, it has Adventurous written on it, and it shows the three dragons, one of whom has consumed the hero.
Yeah, I have the same shirt.
Yeah, shirt's awesome.
Yeah.
And she's like, but she didn't know what she was looking at, but she obviously saw it was video game, and it piqued her interest, and she saw that it was video game related, and it piqued her interest, and she was like, so I gotta know, what's your shirt all about? I'm like, oh, it's Adventure, and she kind of gave me a puzzled look, and I explained, you know, that it's this old 2600 game. She's like, oh, wow, that's awesome. That's really, she used the word epic, which I forgave, and because it was Adventure. Adventure was epic. But she's like, yeah, I started with, I started with the Genesis. And she said it with almost like a guilty, like, you know, I'm not as cool as you. But, you know, then I was like, oh, no, that's awesome. And, she, you know, her very first game was Sonic the Hedgehog, which was an awesome video game. And just, I guess we could still connect. We had sort of a generational difference going on, but we had the love for the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you could tell. I can tell just from that conversation, your portrayal of that conversation, that had she been of the right age, she would proudly be sporting those duck dragons from the adventure game.
Exactly.
On her
shirt. And if she went and researched it and then bought the same t-shirt and stuff just out of a genuine interest, like that, I mean, that's exactly the type of conversion I want.
Right.
I actually welcome the intergenerational exchange. Like I really hope there comes to be a day when we're old that instead of just being like ushered off to talk about stuff nobody cares about, which has been the fate of other older generations, the stuff we like has still persisted into the modern day, and we'll be able to relate, you know what I mean, at least on this level, to kids in the future. I that's my hope. That's my sincere hope, because it's, in a way, it's like we've all got our jobs and responsibilities, but we're still kids, and we can relate to today's kids in a certain way, because we share, generally speaking, the same interests. And it's kind of cool.
Dude, when you're on Xbox Live, if, you know, you're playing against somebody and you don't have headphones on so you can't hear them talking about fucking your mom or calling you the N-word every 3 seconds. I mean, when you play against somebody, you don't know how old they are or how young they are. And in a good game, a good matchup, it doesn't matter. And that kind of goes along with exactly like what you're saying. It would be great if we could get to that position where even in real life conversation, hey, we could play games online for hours at a time, but you, now you meet me in person, find out that I'm a generation older than you, and all of a sudden there's no connection. It would be so awesome for that not to exist.
Yeah, I exactly, man. I think today's, at least when it comes to entertainment, we have this is pretty unprecedented. A venue for entertainment that everybody can enjoy, and it's cool, man. I never really, I'm sure music and stuff will still present a gap,
mm-hmm.
but it's nice that maybe.
I mean, dude, think about how many dads out there, you know, have like a 13-year-old kid, and you know they're both looking forward to the next X-Men movie or the next Avengers or Spider-Man, Iron Man. I mean, that shit, it's generational. To be able to pull together like that it's powerful.
It really is. You know what? And you kind of hit a nail on the head there, Rick, because I've got friends who've got kids that range anywhere from like young to up to like 12 and 13, and it's really cool to be able to not just go over there and they have to be the kid who's seen and not heard. They can come in the room and talk to you, and you can talk to them about a video game they're playing or an anime or mm-hmm. a superhero movie, and you're excited with them. Like, that's such a neat connection to have. I really hope that persists into the future. And, I guess that's always been there for sports fans.
Right, exactly.
What have we had until now, you know? Because exactly. Adults and kids can enjoy a sports game together, and now we can enjoy stuff with kids too, you know? It's cool.
Right. I mean, my dad's an asshole, but he's awesome at insert game name here. You know what I mean?
My dad's an asshole, but he racked up some awesome kills on Call of Duty.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's cool, man. It's a very it's a nice generational bridge, I think. We'll say that geek culture is a very handy generational bridge. Brian, do you agree, or do you think we're deluding ourselves into thinking such gulfs are bridgeable?
I'm sure they're bridgeable. I'm not sure I'd expect it to stay like mainstream, but I don't think it'll ever like diminish. I mean, you couldn't find another geek when I was younger. I mean, I think you'll always have like a little community. I think you'll always have, you know, the Tates will always be there.
Agreed. We found each other, Brian, in the middle school prison yard. If you remember.
I do.
A grim story for another time, I think. But, yeah, back then you had to sniff out your fellow travelers, as it were. But now, I use as it were way too much. But, yeah, now I think the organizing properties of the internet help normalize things in people's minds, so.
Nothing is subculture anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it's I think it's still subculture, but it's indexable and searchable now, so it makes it less obscure. Okay, guys, so it sounds like while we agree that the geek culture, we won't call it a subculture necessarily anymore, is here to stay, the mainstream dabbling will likely subside going forward. But just as a fun exercise, let's assume either that it doesn't, or that we're not quite at the pinnacle yet, and we've got a little ways to go. And let's assume that instead of just t-shirts in Walmart, things are taken to a ridiculous level where everyday items take on a geeky sheen.
Like an R2-D2 Xbox 360.
for example, which I might be looking at right now.
And me too.
Let's assume things go there and beyond. And just for fun, as we prepare to wrap this episode, let's brainstorm about some cool everyday, you know, we won't call it whitewash. Let's talk about some everyday household items or items we encounter in life that could be geek washed. And the Xbox 360 is already a geeky tool, but they made it even worse or better depending on how you look at it. I think an R2-D2 theme. So, let's go with, okay, I'll run with one. Dairies across the country come up with a variety of blue milk. I don't know what it tastes like, but it's blue.
I'm sticking with R2-D2 theme, and I'm going to say special edition R2-D2 Volkswagen Bug.
Nice! I would buy that car. and drive it proudly.
As C-3PO dressed up inside.
Totally.
No, dressed up like a hologram of Princess Leia inside.
Airboats, if you wanted to expand the appeal of an airboat, you could make one look like a land speeder.
Sticking with Star Wars, you could do the mouse droid from Death Star, Roomba style.
Oh, I like it. Very nice. Very nice. How about some Super Mario plumbing tools for when you got to do household plumbing things? Mario-themed wrenches.
You go to Home Depot and you get your Mario Brothers toolkit.
Teaches you a craft and gives you some geek cred.
They need to do the little RF chips where it's like plus 5 jumping when it's in the house, too.
Yeah. So if you have the Mario branded stuff and you're playing a Mario game, you get extra abilities in the game.
Yeah,
I like that,
dude. And then they're gonna have the bank chase is gonna have a special savings account branded with Sonic the Hedgehog, so you can deposit all your coins in their bank account.
Oh, that's great! And when you go online to view your balance, it's rings. It's represented in the rings from Sonic instead of money. You could go numerous ways with that. It could be rupees from Legend of Zelda. Anything. Like, your whole banking experience is...
I like that! The dollar rupee! They're talking about the dollar coin becoming popular, right?
Oh, dollar rupee! Brilliant!
Damn, I blew that. That's right. It was rings, not coins. Any kind of video game tie-in with a bank. Dude, I can't believe they haven't done that yet. That's totally right up this alley, man.
There's room in the mainstream to appeal to, like, I don't care about banking. Banking's not fun. Wait a minute, if I come in and open an account with you, I get, like, a free checkbook shaped like a, you know, a Tetris block? Okay, sign me up. I mean, there's so many opportunities that we're missing here.
In order to withdraw money, you can have a special app, and you have to play the game, and that's how much money you can actually deposit. Or that's how much money you can withdraw, depending on how many coins you get.
You know, you could tie in, like, okay, video game companies that, you know, they have the Xbox achievements and Sony has trophies. For fulfilling your social responsibilities, like voting or paying your child support or alimony, you get achievements on Xbox Live. Not a deadbeat is the achievement for, you know, paying for your kid's child support.
Oh.
But then it instantly gives half of the Microsoft points rewarded to your wife.
Of course. Actually, to the kid's account. Think about that. Like, you get when a police officer pulls you over and you comply, you get an achievement for, like, obeying the law.
That probably sets a bad precedent. There'd be people trying to get away to see what they could unlock.
Well, you get a lifetime ban if you try to exploit the system. They log your IP and you're banned from the highway. So, airplanes? What can we do with air travel to make them more... Oh, come on. You could totally theme out some airplanes to make air travel less miserable, right?
I think just including video games and airplanes would make it less miserable.
I'm really surprised that... Well, I've seen that. I've seen like a Super Nintendo-style game embedded into the backs of the airplane seats. That was a while ago, though.
Yeah, they've still got like these. They've got these little Linux terminals with some pretty basic gaming options, but something they could definitely expand.
Yeah, they could network that thing up, and it's just a first-person shooter.
Oh, they need to do Mario Kart.
Yes, that'd be awesome.
Actually, that would be really cool.
Like a 100-player Mario Kart.
They can also theme the different planes out. Like in a given fleet, you've got one themed for a different. Like you've got the Middle Earth themed airplane or something like that, and then the Star Wars themed one, and the whole goal is you want to ride on all of them, and then you get an achievement. See, the achievement's always there. You can tie that in.
Yeah, I'd take trips. I'm addicted to achievements, dude. That's like my motivating factor in anything anymore. And I've found it really odd that if a game doesn't have achievements, I don't really care.
I don't care to play it anymore. That's kind of how I am. Like, I think. That's what these reward programs are that all the retailers have now. But there should be an option. Like, you could use your $350 in Best Buy credits to buy something cool, or we could just convert it into Microsoft achievement points. Ooh, I'll take those. Da-ding!
Or for every $100 you spend, you get some kind of graphic that's quote-unquote a sticker that shows up on your Facebook page.
Yeah, man.
Hey, socially, it's the $100 Target reward.
Socially network the world. It's a $100 Target award. I like it.
And all it is a Target bullseye with the word, you know, with the number 100 across it. So for every $100 you spend, you got the $100 sticker. You've got the $500 sticker. It's okay. And they're not worth anything. They're just showing that you're wasting your money at Target.
Well, they also
people
send,
would do it.
They would. And they'd also send you a custom ringtone for your phone that said, stay on Target. Stay on Target.
Shop at Target. Shop at Target. I can't shake it.
Dude, I, a Dalek, trash can. Instead of exterminate, says, like, wait, what did trash can say? Recycle!
Eliminate!
There you go. And it lets you know when it needs to be filled out by saying eliminate. Or when it needs to be emptied, I should say. I want that R2 unit Volkswagen now, Rick.
Remember when they had the R2-D2 mailboxes?
No, I don't. Did they have such things?
Yeah, the U.S. Postal Service had R2-D2 U.S. mailboxes.
Dude, why don't they...
They were scattered all around the United States. I was actually lucky enough to see one in Boston.
Oh. Wow. You just hit on a really big potential market. Why doesn't the post office is hurting for revenue? Why don't they have, like, special stamps and envelopes that are, like, only available through them that are, like, themed? I'd pay extra for some, like, kick-ass, like, Halo envelopes to send stuff.
Yeah, it's like in the past they have focused in on the pop culture or collectability of certain things, but I think they're really missing the boat at the most important time when they really do need the extra revenue. They need to get in touch with today's culture in order to make that happen, because I think you're right, dude. You know, get a stupid set of collectible Halo stamps. I don't know. But they got to do it different, dude. It's got to be digital, social media style.
Yeah, stamp collecting.
If you bought some type of Halo stamp set, then you get avatars of these items. So you're buying the stamps to use them rather than collect them, which is fine because you're getting a digital version that you can keep forever.
And if okay, this is gonna totally like create like false traffic, but they don't care. If you buy a Halo envelope and you put a Master Chief, which is the hero from Halo, stamp on it, right? And you send it to your friend, it goes through the system, it gets postmarked. Then with that postmark, that's redeemed. Now you've got a fully delivered Halo envelope with postmark. That's redeemable itself. So it encourages you to actually send something via right. mail, which is their big problem. Kids are just sending empty envelopes. We don't care. We're solvent.
They don't give a shit if there's anything in them or not. They're still getting their money for the envelope, money for the stamp, and whatever crap that happens in between.
Why doesn't Billy ever write Granny letters to, I wish he'd quit writing me. I don't want to hear anything else he has to say.
Hasn't that little bastard heard of the goddamn internet?
Just send me an email, Billy. What do you want me to do with all these letters? Shut up, Grandma. I need the achievements. There you go. We saved the Postal Service. I don't think we can do better than that.
Yeah, I think we've definitely shown that the current trendiness, although we feel it's on its way out, it still has some legs, man.
Yeah, I think either it still has some legs, or this just shows what actual geeks we are. We think any of this crap would work in the real world. With that, I think we're ready to put a stamp on this sucker and send it off to the future, past. Where do our episodes go? The internet?
The internet.
Huh. Well, if you happen to be a user of the internet, which I consider to be a passing fad, you can navigate over to iTunes. Once there, you can subscribe to our podcast, which means that I won't say you'll get it delivered in custom themed envelopes and stamps so much as you will download it on regular intervals, but you'll have a subscription to our podcast and you'll love it. And once you're done loving it, you can rate us 5 stars and write us an out of this world stellar review.
And if you don't like the iTunes, you can direct your browser over to www.nerdstravaganza.com, where you can also download the show, rate the show, subscribe to the show, or just simply send us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
Or if you're so caught up on fads that'll disappear in a year, head to Facebook and like our page and join our crew at facebook.com/groups/nerdstravaganza.
Honestly, nobody uses the mail. They wouldn't use the mail. I mean, honestly, I don't even see the point of this conversation.